The Sean Green Show. Sean covers all things entertainment. Movies, books, news, concerts, television, video games, the entertainment guru. Sean covers it all. This is the Sean Green Show podcast. The Sean Green Show podcast on WGN Plus and SeanGreenShow.com.
Welcome back to the Sean Green Show. I'm Sean Green. I want to thank everybody out there that's listening. Hey, make sure you guys check out SeanGreenShow.com. Yes, that is SeanGreenShow.com. All the latest news, interviews, and podcasts are up at SeanGreenShow.com. Also, check me out on Facebook at Sean Green Show Media. Also, you can check me out on WGNPlus.com. The hottest podcasts go up on WGNPlus.com. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at Sean Green Show. Jam-packed show today. You got movies coming out this week, and who else better to talk about this than Eric Davis, the managing editor at Movies.com and contributing editor at Fandango.com. He's fresh back from the Sundance Film Festival. Hey, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, dude?
All right, so you're back from Sundance, and, yeah. You know, one of the things that I actually read about Sundance was Robert Redford was saying how, you know, Sundance is getting a little bit too big for its britches. Did you feel that when you were out there?
I did. It's crowded. There's a lot of people there, especially on Main Street. You know, Sundance is one of those festivals where you get a lot of people there that aren't necessarily there to watch movies. You get a lot of activation spaces. A lot of brands come in and have little houses and little, you know, places where you can grab coffee. They have a bunch of virtual reality exhibits now. Virtual reality is a big thing at these festivals. And then you have a bunch of people from L.A. that just come in because there's parties at Sundance. So, you know, combined with everybody that's there to see the movies, there's a lot of people just so that sort of descend upon what's really this little kind of snow town, you know, snow mountain town, yeah, in Park City, Utah. It's not like this big sort of thriving city. So it's definitely crowded. You know, for myself, I just try to kind of put my head down and hop from movie theater to movie theater and see as many as I could. I think I saw like 20 movies.
Oh, wow.
in 5 days. And I don't. I try not to get too wrapped up into all the other stuff, because when you get wrapped up in all the other stuff, you don't have a good time.
Yeah. Now, do you think they may move the venue, or you think it'll always be there, and they'll just try to cut back on all the extra stuff that has nothing to really do with the movies?
Well, I'm curious because, you know, I don't think it's going to move. I think it'll stay there. It's very tied into Utah and the state of Utah. So I think it'll stay in Park City. It's a great place. That's kind of what makes Sundance. But you know, Robert Redford kind of, you know, flirted with a couple of ideas of splitting it up, you know, having one section run 1 month and another section run another month. But that's hard, too, because, you know, you get a lot of press. You get a lot of people that kind of come for Sundance. And if you split up the slate, it might kind of throw people off. So I don't know what you do, really. It's hard to kind of scale back in a way. So I guess the only way to scale back is to maybe have less of a presence, and maybe it is, you know, the Main Street and all that nonsense. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I just hope that they continue to play good movies, because I saw some good movies there this year.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you. As far as like the if you was to pick like the best five films you've seen at Sundance this year, what would they be?
I would say The Birth of a Nation, which was a big one. That's the one that won Grand Jury. It won the Audience Award. It was a huge movie based on a real-life story of Nat Turner, who led a slave rebellion back in the 1830s. Powerful movie, necessary movie, movie that speaks very of the moment, you know, with the Oscars So White campaign and all that stuff. So that movie did really well. There's a movie called Manchester by the Sea that I really loved, starring Casey Affleck. There's a movie called Slight that I dug, too, about this sort of street magician who's also a drug dealer, and then those two worlds collide. It's kind of like this really cool low-budget genre movie. I say it's Chronicle meets Menace to Society, which it kind of is. And then also there's a movie called Captain Fantastic that I really liked about a family that lives off the grid, and a documentary called Wiener based on Anthony Wiener, the guy who ran for mayor in New York, and there was a whole sexting scandal. The cameras are sort of following him throughout that whole process, and I thought it was a really fascinating look at sort of inside a political scandal, which we really don't ever see. So I really liked that movie, too. A lot of others, but those films kind of stood out the most to me.
Oh, great. Now, as far as movies that you just didn't like, because, and correct me if I'm wrong here, the, you know, Sundance is like movies that probably you would never see like in a big theater, but this is your chance to see it, you know, there at Sundance. Were there anything that you just didn't like and you thought it should never have been there?
Well, there was one really super weird movie called Swiss Army Man, starring Daniel Radcliffe and Paul Dano.
Yeah.
Paul Dano plays a guy who's stranded on an island, kind of like Castaway. And then he befriends this dead body that washes up ashore, and the dead body is played by Daniel Radcliffe. And it's this very weird movie. At one point, he's riding Daniel Radcliffe as a jet ski, and it's just an odd film that is definitely not for everybody. It's got an interesting story sort of underneath it all, but all around that story is just really weird stuff going on. So, that one was definitely divisive. There was another film called Complete Unknown that had a good, great cast, but just kind of meandered and didn't do anything for me. But everything else I sort of enjoyed. You know, I think it was really only those two movies that I had kind of scratching my head. Everything else was really good. Either I made good choices, I got lucky. But, you know, I was satisfied. I was happy with what I saw.
All right, good to go. We're talking with Eric Davis, managing editor at Movies.com and a contributing editor at Fandango.com. Over at Movies.com, you had a nice, cool article about the Super Bowl movie trailers. And that's one of the things, you know, my team didn't make it in the Super Bowl, so I really have no interest in the Super Bowl this year. I'm a Bears fan, so I'm suffering. I'll be suffering for the next couple seasons, it looks like. But the Super Bowl, you know, as far as the commercials, one of the things that I find really cool about the commercials is that you're almost certain to get really cool movie trailers of what, you know, to come out this summer. And you had a few that you had listed here that I really can't wait for. So first is Bourne 5. And on Movies.com, there's an actual photo of Matt Damon as Jason Bourne. So what's the deal with that?
Yeah, I think this is going to be the big trailer debut over the during the Super Bowl. You know, they haven't announced the title for this movie yet. We keep calling it Bourne 5, but it is the fifth Jason Bourne movie. This is the one that brings back Matt Damon. Remember, he wasn't in the last one.
No.
Jeremy Renner was in the last Bourne movie. They sort of tried to reboot the franchise with Jeremy Renner. It worked kind of to some success, but they managed to get Matt Damon and Paul Greengrass, the director, back to the franchise. So we haven't seen anything but this one picture that's on the site. It's the only picture that we've seen from the movie. We don't know what it's called yet. We don't really know what it's about. We know that it'll be a globe-trotting affair like they usually are. So a lot of people are looking forward to it. And I think Universal has like a 60-second spot, so we'll probably get a nice little TV spot. They'll probably roll a longer trailer online, but this will be like kind of like the first, you know, welcome back, Bourne. I think that'll be the biggest one. Also, other trailers, you know, look for Independence Day Resurgence, the Independence Day sequel. I remember, you know, the first Independence Day sort of announced itself to the world during the Super Bowl. I really credit Independence Day with sort of starting this whole Super Bowl movie trailer phenomenon. Because this movie, you know, this is before the internet and before sort of social media. When you didn't really know about movies until you saw the trailer for the movie, you know, Independence Day dropped its trailer during the Super Bowl, and everybody was kind of blown away. They were like, what is this? The White House is blowing up. Aliens are blowing up New York. You know, it was just kind of like, it was crazy. It was wild to watch. So I remember that very distinctly. Count on the sequel to do another similar thing. They're going to drop a trailer. And then, yeah, you know, I have superhero movies, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows, the next Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. That's going to have a trailer. X-Men Apocalypse, Deadpool, which comes out next week. Those two superhero movies will probably have a trailer. Disney will have a trailer for The Jungle Book, maybe even Captain America Civil War. We could see something from that. Maybe from Alice Through the Looking Glass, which is a sequel for that. So those are some of the movies. Some of the movies that we won't see, Batman v Superman, we won't see. Won't see Batman, Superman. Won't see Ghostbusters. Neither of those studios bought any time during the Super Bowl. But, we, you know, but they're coming up. So even though we won't see them during the Super Bowl, I'm sure we're going to see them soon. Batman v Superman comes out next month now. We're in February.
Yeah,
so we can finally say that movie comes out next month, which is crazy. We're going to get a movie where Batman fights Superman. Coming out next month. So I'm excited for that. And, you know, we're going to get a lot of that movie coming up in the next few weeks.
Yeah, definitely. I know I can't wait for that either. Back to the Bourne movie. A couple weeks ago, I was in Vegas, and I actually had the pleasure of actually watching them film a couple of scenes from the upcoming Bourne movie. And, chase scenes galore. I mean, it was pretty awesome to actually watch, you know, just on the strip. They shut down part of the strip just to film this. And, you know, even though traffic was bad, it just drew like a really big crowd for people to actually watch. And I thought that was actually pretty cool. And I can't wait for it.
Yeah, that's cool. Because we don't get a lot of action scenes in Vegas. You know, we get like Vegas heist movies or Vegas comedies or Vegas dramas, but you don't get any real crazy action scenes in Vegas. So that I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right, we got a whole new week, whole new week of movies. What do we got planned this week?
Hail Caesar is coming out. It's a new Coen Brothers movie. Coen Brothers did, you know, Big Lebowski, Fargo, Barton Fink. This is sort of a throwback to old Hollywood. Takes place in the golden age of Hollywood, 1950s. Josh Brolin plays what they call a Hollywood fixer, whose sort of job is to run around and put out a bunch of fires for a studio, you know, for their movies, and make sure their movie stars are not in the gossip mags and all that stuff. It's got a lot of really old Hollywood sensibilities. It's very authentic to the period. It's very comical. It's a satire sort of on the way they made movies back then. The story itself is kind of hit and miss. There's no real coherent story running through. It's more of a series of kind of moments and vignettes, kind of a look back at you know, poking fun at the way Hollywood made movies back then. But it's still very amusing. I think if you are a fan of the Coen brothers and their sort of way of making movies, or if you're a fan of old Hollywood and sort of liked watching a movie about how they made movies back then I think you'll really like it. Everyone else, I would say maybe not so much, but if you're in those two groups of people, this movie's for you. Also, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, which is a mashup of Pride and Prejudice. Yes, Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice. And Zombies. And this is a novel that came out a while ago. And they've been trying to make this movie for a long time. I think, like, Natalie Portman was the first one on this movie. And years later, they finally got it done. And it's okay. It's a little boring. It's not that exciting. But, you know, it's interesting. It's an interesting mashup. I think if you want the genre, the zombie genre to continue, you have to sort of evolve in these kinds of risky directions. But, you know, it's nothing to write home about. But if you're looking for a zombie fix, you can watch this.
All right, and there you have it. Eric Davis, managing editor at Movies.com and contributing editor at Fandango.com. Hey, make sure you guys check out Fandango.com. You can always pre-order your tickets at Fandango.com. A lot of cool stuff on Fandango.com. Also, check out Movies.com. There are cool articles on Movies.com. Also, cool articles that Eric Davis has on there. So make sure you check that out. If you want to check out Eric on Twitter and all his all the things he does on Twitter, you can check him out. It's at Eric Davis. That's E-R-I-K Davis. So make sure you guys check that out as well. Eric, thanks always for joining us, man.
You got it, man. Be good.
All right, and we'll be back right after this.
Thanks for listening to The Sean Green Show, the entertainment guru. You could friend him on Facebook, Sean Green Show Media, or follow him on Twitter, at Sean Green Show. The Sean Green Show on WGN Plus and SeanGreenShow.com.